seated for the hearing of God's word. Nathaniel, thank you.
Genesis 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and then the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran.
Our gospel reading today, I'll invite Tori to join me, comes from the Gospel of John in the 3rd chapter. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God."
Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above."
Nicodemus said to him, "Well, how can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?"
Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of flesh is flesh, and what is born of spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit."
Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?"
Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know to testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have only told you about earthly things, and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except for the ones who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and whatever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world must be saved through him."
The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Thanks, Tori.
Grace and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's so nice to be here with you this evening. I enjoyed being here at the noon service as well. And as intern John said, my name is Pastor Krista Zimmerman. And we're doing this round robin thing based on a Lenten series put out by the Synod based on their mission statement, but I'll talk a little bit about that later. I'm the associate pastor there. You might know us better as the Spaceship Church. Most people do, so. So Nicodemus often gets a bad rap. But how brave of Nicodemus to come and talk to Jesus. He comes under the cover of night to have a word with Jesus one-on-one. He's curious about this Jesus. We don't know exactly what pushed Nicodemus to come, but before this we know that Jesus had been healing people and he had just overturned the tables of the money changers in the temple, and the Pharisees felt threatened by this new guy. They had heard the rumors about who Jesus was, but that doesn't stop Nicodemus' curiosity. The conversation that Jesus and Nicodemus have is about renewal. The Pharisees taught about the faith. They knew all the stories. But Jesus came to take it one step further. Jesus came to renew us time and time again. Jesus meets Nicodemus and us where we are with love and grace, and moves us forward. Jesus says we must be born again. For the contemporary reader, it may be hard to get past that. It reminds us of a part of Christianity which takes this passage in a different way than we as Lutherans do. I went to a conservative Christian college with lots of Baptists and Pentecostals, Church of God folks, so I was asked more than one time if I was born again or if I had been saved. I had no idea what that meant. I didn't have a really good, quick answer to that question until I went to seminary, when I was told I should say, yes, I was saved 2,000 years ago on the cross. But in my confusion, I often got blank stares from people trying to convert me to their brand of Christianity because they believed that I was wrong. Even though I had grown up in the church, I'd chosen to go to a Christian college and had already felt the call to ministry. Now, Lutherans don't claim to have a corner on the truth, but I found that question, are you born again, to be loaded with exclusion. Christ came for all. Christ is about bringing everyone together, not who's in and who's out, but it's our human tendency to put people into categories, us and them, the in and the out. But Jesus comes to bridge the divide. Jesus meets Nicodemus where he was, appeals to his mind, to his intellect, and also pushes him forward. Basically saying, if you believe in what I'm about, Nicodemus, why not live it out? Nicodemus' curiosity helps him to understand who Jesus is beyond what his colleagues say he is. Being curious is brave. Being willing to leave one's own assumptions and judgments aside. And as Christians, we are encouraged to be curious, to ask questions of our faith. I'm always telling our confirmation students to never stop asking questions. That's how we learn and how we grow. Our faith isn't supposed to remain stagnant. And that goes for us as a church as well. As church, we need to ask questions. I think curiosity is the antidote to that phrase, we've always done it that way. The church needs to keep asking, is the way we've always done it sufficient? The answer to that question will often be no, but we don't have to throw the baby out with the bathwater or change just for the sake of changing. So during Lenten midweeks at Resurrection, at Living Faith, and at Mount Pleasant, as well as other churches within our synod, we're exploring the four core values of the Greater Milwaukee Synod mission statement. And I'm here to highlight curiosity. I like the clip art. Very nice. It's stated as follows in our synod mission statement, what our synod believes about curiosity. We believe that God is always up to something new, working to bring people together from diverse contexts to experience resurrection, hope, and community. Our task is to wonder and explore as the Holy Spirit moves us to. And at Mount Pleasant, and I'm sure at Resurrection, and so many of our churches, we're asking, how do we best serve our neighbor? How do we take care of each other? How do we take the values of our faith and ask the questions that need to be asked in order to live out God's love in our community? Maybe especially now, when there is a lot of anxiety in our culture. But God meets us with grace. Jesus loves our questions and our curiosity. Jesus' love for us never leaves us where we are, but moves us forward together for the sake of the kingdom of God. May we continue to thirst for God and for God's work and be empowered by God's love among us. Amen.
turn to a time of prayer. After each prayer, there will be a pause, and you're invited to offer up anything else that you need to add tonight.